This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.radiokidnappers.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium...
You're listening to Radio Kidnappers, the voice of Hawke's Bay, and I'm Lynn Trafford, presenting on behalf of the Hawke's Bay branch of the Royal Society of New Zealand, Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air. This program is your opportunity to get to know practicing and recently retired scientists from around the Bay. With me in the studio, I have Christine Trow, known to friends, family and work associates as Chris. Chris Trow is the nurse manager of the emergency department, which also incorporates the acute assessment unit at our local hospital, the Hawke's Bay Fallen Soldiers Memorial Hospital in Hastings. Her role also incorporates the after-hours service at City Medical Centre in Napier. So welcome to Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air, Chris Trow.
Hello.
It's really good to have you with us today. Now, I always thought you were born and bred Hawke's Bay, but you're not. You came in as a youngster, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was born in a little town called Hunterville, and when I was about 8 or 9, we moved to Wairau, and I grew up in Wairau. The best days of my life, I look back on. My education was in Wairau.
Primary school, intermediate school, secondary school,
the whole lot. Intermediate wasn't invented when I went to school, so it was primary school and high school.
I'm sure it was invented, it just but not in Wairau, had not come to Wairau as yet. Whilst you were at school, was there a defining moment when you thought, golly, I think I'd quite like to be a nurse? That sounds like a really good career for me.
It wasn't quite an at-school defining moment. Most of my group had thought about either nursing or teaching as their careers. When I was 14, unfortunately, my dad died of cancer, and we looked after him at home for a short period. It was a very fast cancer. And I thought, this is what I'm going to do. So that was what I decided I was going to do. And Napier was the closest place to train, and I chose Napier as my training hospital.
So you finished secondary school, did you, and came straight down to Napier?
Yes, when I was 17, I came down to Napier and started my nursing training on April Fool's Day.
Oh, of course, as one does. So even though you signed up, as it were, for nursing at Napier, you all of a sudden find yourself at Hastings doing a sort of prelim course. Is that what happened to you?
Yes. So we had our training hospital, which was Napier or Hastings. And my training hospital was Napier, but all of our tutorial time was in Hastings. And we used to bus over to Hastings each day. We started with a 17-week course, which was called our prelim time. And most of that was tutorial time. And at the end of it, if we passed, we went on and did our actual registered nurse training. If not, then there were some other options that were available. Some nurses, some girls went on to be enrolled nurses from that time if they didn't pass. Others just left and chose other areas of education.
So it was a way of weeding people out.
It was,
really,
yep.
Wasn't it? And they do still a similar sort of thing today, do they?
Now the nurses who train at the institutions, such as the EIT, if they fail a paper, they can go back and resit that. But it means going back 6 months, sometimes going back a year if they fail.
So this has kind of disappeared, what you
yes,
did. Really.
Yes,
it's been
yes.
superseded.
Uh-huh. Yes.
All right. So you do your, you pass, in your case, your general nursing prelim. What happens to you then?
We were allocated to work areas, and so we still had regular times of tutorial, and they generally related to the placement that we went to. So we did 6-week placements in ward inpatient areas, and then we it would link in generally with what we were learning, and we would have exams at the end of each time, and then we would go to a different placement in a ward. So it might be a medical ward, a surgical ward, the children's ward, all of the different specialties that that were in the hospital.
So there's quite a few that you would rotate around.
Rotate around.
So that everybody gets a try at all of those different things.
Yes.
And that included your own emergency department that you later became a specialist in. We'll get to that in a wee few minutes' time. You continued then with your tutorials at Hastings Hospital.
Yes.
That sat alongside your 6 weeks rotating.
Yes.
Did it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. For some years?
For 3 years.
3 years.
3 years in total.
Okay. So you do this 3-year training, and did it change all the way across those 3 years? Were you constantly 6-weeking, or did something else get thrown into the mess?
We were constantly 6-weeking. If there were specialty areas such as Napier had the eye ward and the ear, nose and throat ward, which Hastings didn't have, then we would interchange. So, and some of the specialty maternity was in Hastings, and the special care baby unit was in Hastings, which wasn't in Napier. So we would have to go to those areas as part of our core training.
So it was a good all-round training, wasn't it then? When you think of all those different kinds of units that you had, albeit a short experience of. At the end of this 3-year time, you then had a pass-fail exam again, didn't you? So what did we call this?
We called that, and we still do today, state finals. And so I think the format of it's changed a little bit now, but we sat the formal exams, and I think some was multi-choice and some was writing essay-type things, and we'd had to have passed clinical assessments before we sat to say that we were clinically able to be nurses, but this was sort of the formal part that said yes, you're academically able to be a nurse. And we sat state final as they do now, and then we had to wait as acting staff nurses we were, or staff nurses in waiting, until we got our results.
And then you become a registered
nurse.
Yeah. All right. And I remember all that. I had friends that were sitting their state finals and biting their fingernails all at the same time, and then becoming a registered nurse. But it was compulsory. You had to pass all that, didn't you? Otherwise, you couldn't become a proper nurse. So you did.
I did.
Excellent.
Yes.
Good, good. Now, what happened to you upon graduation then, Chris?
Upon graduation, I had my first child. And at my graduation, my son was a week old. And so he was in attendance at my graduation, which was at the Municipal Theatre in Napier. In 1977.
So you then, with a young family, because there were more children to come, you worked just part-time over a number of years?
Yes, I did.
Was it the similar sort of general nursing that you were doing during that time?
Yes, it was. I did some specialty nursing in orthopaedics and in the eye ward and the ear, nose and throat ward, but also worked in sort of in a casual sort of relief kind of basis wherever was required to cover sickness or whatever in the general wards as well.
Mm-hmm. So once your children started to grow, you go back to nursing, do you then?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What were you doing then? Did you specialise? Did you go back into general nursing? What was the situation then?
It was really just general nursing. I've always had a love of surgical and orthopaedic nursing, but also loved that just the general nursing of generally unwell, maybe mainly medical patients. So it was really just general nursing.
Uh-huh. Just carrying on.
Carrying on.
Getting the experience, clocking it away. There came a time in about 1990 where there was a slight change of tack for you. You were asked if you'd like to work in the emergency department, and also a nursing degree became available round about that time as well. So big changes for yourself and your colleagues, I would think.
Yes, it was.
What happened, Chris?
So the EIT was offering a Bachelor of Nursing degree, which we were able to do sort of on an extramural basis, being able to attend lessons at the EIT in the evening, and it was generally once a week per paper that we took. And at the end of a couple of years doing the papers that were required, we came out with a Bachelor of Nursing degree. We were able to get credited with the experience and knowledge that we had from our general training. So we didn't have to do the full number of papers, but most of us did between 10 and 12 Bachelor of Nursing papers to get our degrees.
So this was quite a new thing. Yes. Was it a bit of an experiment, or did you feel whilst you were undergoing this formal education that this was the start of something quite new and was going to bed down in some way?
At the time, it was suggested that nurses who were going through the nursing training of the day would be coming out with a Bachelor of Nursing degree. And a lot of nurses poo-hooed that and said, well, a Bachelor of Nursing degree will never, ever supersede the experience that we have as nurses, all the knowledge and experience that we have. But the Bachelor of Nursing actually gave people a much deeper knowledge of health, I would say. Not just nursing, but health and the science of health, what makes up poor health as much as health. And a lot of nurses said this will never happen, but it did.
It did, and it is.
It is.
And it's very successful, isn't it?
It is.
Not only at EIT, but at similar institutions around New Zealand.
Yes.
Young ladies are studying this particular formal qualification.
Yes, they are.
Hugely successful.
They are.
Good on you for being one of the first.
Thank you.
I like a pioneer lady. That's a really good thing to have. 1998 saw a bit of an upheaval for health service delivery in Hawke's Bay with the closure of Napier Hospital. What happened to you round about that time, having spent so many years there?
So
you were turfed out with everyone else.
It was always a contentious issue, the regionalising of the hospital. But in my mind, it was the best thing. We were duplicating services, and so regionalising to Hastings was a step forward. And in 1998, we moved from Napier to Hastings, and eventually Napier Hospital was closed fully. For there was a period of time that the medical service remained there until they were ready to regionalise. But I moved, I was working in the emergency department at that time, and we moved to Hastings and set up our full Hawke's Bay service from Hastings Hospital.
The emergency department in Hastings.
In Hastings,
Hospital.
Emergency department.
So did you find that quite different from Napier, or was it really just much the same?
It was a little bit different because it was quite a different style of department. But over the previous year or 18 months, we had taken it in turns rotating through the Hastings and Napier departments. We'd swapped staff around so that we all had a good idea of what was happening over there and what the department was like.
In readiness,
yes. Uh-huh.
So that was 1998 that happened. What happened to you after that as we go across from the 1990s into 2000s?
We had a number of career opportunities through restructuring and leadership opportunities where new roles were created that were the nurse manager roles were introduced, which we'd always had charge nurses, and then the next level or next tier in that management structure was team leaders, and I was fortunate enough to become a team leader in the emergency department.
You also, at some stage, roundabout here, applied to be the nurse manager of the acute assessment unit?
Yes.
What is an acute assessment unit?
The acute assessment unit was opened in 2004. And it was after a lot of planning to try and improve the management of patients that are particularly medical patients who presented either from their GP or through the emergency department with an acute exacerbation of an illness or disease. And it was to centralise all of the assessment processes in one place. And that became the acute assessment unit.
And you still have a responsibility for that area today, don't you? So it sits there still doing what it used to do?
It sits there and does it what it used to do and better.
And better. And one would expect that, wouldn't one, really? Yes. That's how life has become a little bit. There was a time also when you went back to do some postgraduate diploma studies. What were you doing this time, and why did you feel the need to actually go back and do this?
So one of the opportunities that was created through EIT again was postgraduate nursing study. And I took that opportunity and completed a postgraduate certificate and subsequently postgraduate diploma in health science, which had components of clinical disease management as well as some components of actual nursing and your nursing management, project management, that type of thing. And I completed that in 2010. I graduated the postgraduate diploma in health science.
So was this then, it's kind of a little bit different from some of the subjects you were doing for your degree, was it providing you a platform to branch off from again, or was it just something that you thought, this is available, I'll just tick the box and get this done?
It was a little bit of both. Really, it gave me a better understanding of the level of nurse that we were training through and the nurses that were coming through as new graduates, giving a much better opportunity to support them and develop them as new registered nurses. The other change that happened around that time was the expectations of nurse managers or clinical nurse managers as far as management level went, having knowledge of not only clinical management but business management as well. So the business management model with recruitment, personnel management, complaints management, not that we have a lot of those. That became important as well. So it gave the platform for those things to be covered at the appropriate level and the opportunity to specialise if need be.
So is this become what matching? I'm struggling just a little bit here, but in my mind I think I've got it, that different tiers of nursing management have come into nursing since you started. Nothing like what it was in the early 1970s. So you've got all these different structures there. And so this kind of formalizing of the education provides one with the tools to be able to do this better. Is that kind of right?
Yes, it does. And what also comes out of it is career progression, succession planning, and different levels of training for nurses to provide specialty service. For instance, we now have clinical nurse specialists that work across a lot of specialties. We have nurse practitioners who have huge responsibilities and provide amazing service. We have nurse educators, which are at a high level or that providing education and training for staff, which are separate to the nurse management level.
So this new qualification, did that give you a new job? Or lead to a new job?
Yes, it did. It did.
So what happened to you, Chris?
The emergency department and the acute assessment unit had two separate clinical nurse managers. And the opportunity, there was a restructure which gave the opportunity for a merger of the two roles. And the two roles were merged and I applied for the position and was successful. The areas of responsibility are the emergency department and acute assessment unit. And the emergency department has always provided the Hastings Emergency Department has always provided the after-hours nursing cover at City Medical in Napier. So we provide a senior nurse there with a receptionist after hours.
So this is where your role is sitting now, is
yes.
it? Is this
yes,
the
it
role
is
you
current.
Had that I mentioned in my introduction?
Yes, it is.
As being the nurse manager for the acute unit?
Yes.
And for the emergency department and after-hours
and
in
after
Napier.
Hours, yeah. Uh-huh.
Quite a large role, Chris.
It is quite a lot.
You must be very proud. There must be times when you sort of have to give yourself a little pinch and think, oh, here I was leaving Wairoa one day to come to Napier to do nursing and look what's happened to me. Sometimes it's unreal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about your role a little bit. You have a large staff you have to look after, do you?
Yes, I do. I have around 115 staff.
Mm-hmm.
They're made up of care associates who provide all the support to the staff and registered nurses, some new graduates right through to nurses who have been there for many years, nurse specialist, associate nurse managers, and we have an educator and a nurse practitioner across those areas, particularly the emergency department.
So there's quite a few of you that
yes.
are based in the emergency
yes.
department at any given time.
Yes.
How do you see that role having changed? Like, you went into the emergency department, two decades ago now?
Yes.
How has life changed? How has your delivery of service changed in 20 years?
The delivery of service now is based on right patient, right place, right time philosophy. So,
what on earth does that mean in an emergency department?
So that
Chris?
Means the
I
person.
I wouldn't want to be there myself, really.
So the patient is the centre of everything. So it's right patient. The care that they get is prioritised, and we have a streamlined process of assessment. Intervention of tests and investigations, blood tests, x-rays, scans, whatever it might be, before the decision is ever made for a patient to be admitted. In days gone by, in the Napier Hastings time, you know, back pre-1998, it was the doctor would send the patient in, the GP would send the patient in, they would get some paperwork and somebody would take them to the appropriate ward. Now a lot of those interventions occur, the assessment happens, and a large number are managed through the emergency department and assessment unit and sent home. They don't get admitted.
They don't get into
no.
the wards.
No.
No, it's quite different, isn't it?
It is different.
Really. And the sorts of responsibility that the nurse has these days, has that changed as well over the 20 years you've been there?
Hugely.
Yeah, so what are you responsible for today?
So now the nurse will do the blood tests and decide what appropriate blood test should be drawn. They will insert an IV line perhaps, give some pain relief. Some nurses have had training to order x-rays, appropriate x-rays for adults anyway. And that's before they ever see a doctor.
So are those x-rays done within the emergency department? They don't get sent away for an x-ray? They
go
have them
to
there?
They go to the x-ray department,
they
which
do.
Is adjacent to the emergency department.
Okay. So it's no big deal. It's
just through the door.
It's right next door.
So by the time they see a doctor, they will often have had pain relief, if they've got pain, obviously, mm-hmm. And have had their blood tests and an IV line and had an x-ray, and then they will see the doctor who will already be able to see a picture emerging
better informed
of what that is wrong with that patient.
Uh-huh. So it makes for a more speedy analysis
yes, it does.
Of what needs
yes.
to be done. And that's down to the fact that the nurses are these days enabled to do that kind of
they
work
are.
Beforehand.
Yeah. They are.
That must mean quite a difference in the training of the nurse. When you think how what your training was like in the 1970s to where we are now in 2016, what differences do you see in the training of the nurses that come under your care at the moment?
The nurses that come through have a very structured orientation now, where I can remember when I first went to the emergency department in Napier Hospital, I had three people who taught me how to put a plaster on, but nobody taught me how to deal with someone who'd taken an overdose.
Yeah.
So we have a very structured orientation with very good competencies and training in place that if a nurse needs to meet a competency, we make sure that the training is initiated for them.
Another thing that I see as a lay person that to me is hugely different is that once upon a time, nursing was a profession for women. Today, we have male nurses, do we not?
We do. We have some amazing male nurses at all different levels of nursing. That we have them as flight nurses. We have them as just nurses in the in the emergency department. We have them as senior nurses in coordination roles. It is a good career pathway now for males, where before there were a lot of connotations about why males went into nursing, but we have some amazing male nurses.
And of course they all have degrees.
They do.
Whereas they didn't.
No.
They all have degrees. Just briefly, because we're going to run out of time, Chris, what do you see the future being for nurses today?
I see in Hawke's Bay, we don't have the hugest turnover of staff. We have a lovely lifestyle in Hawke's Bay, so a lot of people come here to stay. But I see that we have got amazing nurses coming out who have learnt or have been taught or grown up to question. And as they come out questioning things, they're opening doors for progression, for career progression. And I love it when I interview a nurse for a job and she's been out for 2 years or he, and they want my job. And yes. I think that's really good.
That's
that
good,
they have
it?
They have goals and they can see themselves moving forward. Where when I trained, you came out as a nurse and that was it. That was what you were going to be.
Yeah. And you spent a long time
getting anywhere in the world. Yes.
On behalf of the Hawke's Bay branch of the Royal Society of New Zealand and of Radio Kidnappers, thank you, Chris Trowe, for being my guest on Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air. To find out more about nursing careers in the Bay, the best place to start would be a search of EIT's website. Similar education is available in other parts of New Zealand should that move be more applicable for you. To find out more about the Royal Society of New Zealand or our branch in the Bay, a Google search will answer questions for you in the first instance. Please join me on Monday mornings at 9:30 to meet another practicing or recently retired scientist. I'm Lynn Trafford.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.radiokidnappers.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project.